And what I'm going to be sharing with you today is about, you know, community 101. This is what the church is all about, you know. The church is a body of believers that is mixed up of all races, of all talents, of all skills, well, you know, of all ages. And so for me, when I see ICA Church, when I see Rock City Church, International Christian Assembly, what I see is what is a taste of things to come. Because when you go before the throne room of God, you have of every nation, of every tongue, of every tribe from all over, and they're all doing the same thing, giving glory to God. Now, and if that's a taste of things to come, why can't we live those taste of things to come now? You know, and giving glory to God while he's on the throne. And so, obviously, one of the scriptures I'm going to be sharing from, my first opening scripture is Acts 2:42. And we see where we see the development of this of what I call Community 101, the New Testament church. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread, and the prayers. Four things: teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and the prayers. Now, the breaking of bread, some people would say that's communion, but many people would say that's house fellowship. They would go from house to house because they didn't have like buildings like we have today. They would go from house to house and they would bring food and they would eat and they would share. But, you know, the apostles' teaching is what they're sharing, what Christ shared to them. And the fellowship. And do you know what's most important when you talk about community is fellowship? I mean, we live in a day and age when you ask somebody how they're doing, and they go, oh, yeah, I'm fine. Whereas it's been programmed into that person to say, yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, I'm okay. Everything is good. But whereas if somebody comes up to you and you say to that person, how are you doing today? And they go, oh, life is miserable. It sucks. I don't want to go on anymore. I'm tired. I'm taking antidepressants and I'm doing this. That. You go, okay, whoa, information overload. I really don't care. And, you know, and it's like, oh, that's the extent of Christianity today. Whereas Christianity was where you come alongside people like that. Because Paul admonishes us. He says, rejoice with those who rejoice, but weep with those who weep. That means those who are struggling, you come alongside, you link arms and you pull them up. And that's what church, the community 101 is all about. Community means working together and supporting one another. We look in Galatians 6, 9-10 and it says this, and let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Man, we live in a day and age of formulas. Every church has a different, what I call, vision. And many churches try to copy other churches. And they try to come up with formulas, and they try to come up with all these different things. And it just doesn't work. You know, if you go to the church in Auckland, what they're doing there, they're actually bringing back what I believe is the true center of the church, which should be the center of the community. Welfare, sports, education, everything. You see that in America. There's some churches that are doing that. And so, I mean, obviously, we're not like a big mega church. But at the end of the day, to actually have that influence where the church is therefore the center of the community once again is to make an influence on the community around it. Quite recently, we have, as you know, Teen Challenge is part of the mission of what I do here, but I'm trying to raise up the Koreans to do that work. And quite recently, Dandy was in a meeting that there's a ministry called Happy Tree Ministries, and they are really on fire for what we do. They want what we've got. And I'm like, well, this is cool. Where is it going as a relationship? Now, they've actually proposed to us and said, listen, we want you to take over a house that we have acquired. And I'm kind of thinking to myself, well, you know, what are you trying to say? Are we partnering here? Are we this? Are we that? And they say, no, we want you to come in and implement this program. They see that as a ministry, they see the legitimacy of a ministry that's affecting over 80 countries of the world, actually 90 countries of the world. And in Uzbekistan, you know, it's underground. In Afghanistan, it's underground. And so, you know, in other parts of the world, it's underground. You won't hear them advertising it in Chad or Sudan or anywhere else. But you, and this is the fact where the larger community of believers, when they see somebody that is trying to do something that is good, if you do not give up in due season, you will reap. You will reap if you do not give up. And so we have the opportunity now of a four-bedroom, large-bedroom home with a center space where we can actually start with young women, which has always been the vision. And so that's now happening. And let me tell you something. There's times where I wanted to give up. I've been doing that for like 7 years. And I would be lying through my teeth if I was standing here right now and say, I didn't want to be a pastor anymore. You know why? It's hard. People think it's easy standing at the front. But when you have a vision, you got to cast it and throw it to the people, and they got to take that. I feel that responsibility when it's not taken. The church is a community of believers that is made up of a body. My body is made up of different things. Fingers, hands, wrists, bones. It's made up of different parts, and they all have an effect. And they all do a greater work. So then, as we have opportunity, how many of you have had opportunity this week to do something? Well, we have opportunity every week, right? As we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are the household of the faith. So everything begins with the family at home. Everything begins with, okay, what's going on in the house? What's going on in the house of God? What needs are there? What's going on? Okay, there's the media department. You know, there's support for Nargiza when she goes back to Uzbekistan. You know, we live in relative religious freedom. I mean, she's going to be going back to a country where there is no religious freedom. Sometimes I think we take that for granted. But as a community 101, we should be able to get behind such people and support them. Yeah. That's what we are meant to be as a body of believers. Now, if you look in Numbers chapter 2 and 3, we see the camp of Israel and how everything was set up. And we notice that at the center of that camp was what? The Holy of Holies. It was the camp of God. It was the tent of meeting. God was the center of the camp. God was the center of the community. And if that which is a pattern and type of in the Old Testament is supposed to be that which is practiced in the New Testament. And we see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15 through 18. What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Individually, yes, we are a temple. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. I know it sounds New Agey, but listen, it's not. It's scriptural. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. He dwells in me. The Holy of Holies. Can you think about that? I mean, imagine for a moment. The Holy of Holies was this place where there was this curtain and everything. And then you had the chief priest, the high priest. He would go in and, you know, he'd make sure the bell was ringing. And if the bell stopped ringing, that he was dead. God struck him because there was something going on in his life. But now, that's not the case. The Holy of Holies is where? It's within me. He said, you will know in that day that I am in you, you in me, and I am in the Father. And the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. And he says this, for we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. What did Jesus say? Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am where? In the midst. And they shall be my people. I will dwell among them. I will walk among them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you. And this is the beautiful part about the household of faith. I will be a what to you? A father. And you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. And as a family, obviously every family has a form of dysfunction. Correct? Has anybody ever been in a family where there's been no dysfunction? The matter of the fact is that, okay, the body's not perfect. That's not an excuse. But the thing is that we should not be weary in doing good. We should all do that which is right. First of all, to the household of faith. Judgment begins where? right here. And then the community at large. And so God is, you know, in all Christian communities, God has to be at the center of it. His dream, his desire, his plan, his purpose, acted out, not just through me, but through you. Somebody, one of the greatest things that kind of I have a conflict with, but I try to use it to the maximum, is advertising the church. We got to advertise the church. I'm thinking, and I remember, I'm going, God, help me. I was praying. I'm going, God, I got to advertise the church. How am I going to advertise this? How am I going to advertise this? I said, there's newspapers, there's the internet, there's TV, there's all these different things. And he's going, you're missing the most important thing. I'm like, what's that? He said, the people. He says, the people of God are meant to, what? Advertise the kingdom of God, the church of God, the household of faith. I'm thinking, yeah, you're right. We're called to be witnesses. We're called to make a stand. We're called to be a walking advertisement. We're meant to be the posters. They go, hey, I go to Rock City Church. It's not big. It's not small. But I want you to come. And that's what we're all about. That's what it's all about. You are living letters. That's what the Bible says, right? You are living letters. People are going to read you. And somebody comes up to you and says, oh, so you're a Christian. You go, yeah. What church do you go to? Oh, I go to this church. They're not going to be really enthused about that, are they? They're going to be like, oh, right, yeah, you're a Christian. You're really happy. Or some Christians, and you go up to them and say, oh, so you're a Christian. Yeah, what church do you go to? Oh, I watch it online. Or I watch it on TV. Really? Really? Do not forsake the gathering of the assembly of the brothers? And so as the body of believers, you are the greatest advertisement of the church. Fact, wherever you go in life, you are an ambassador for the kingdom of God. And an ambassador walks around with dignity, with honor, with respect, with authority, with power, with somebody who's not ashamed to say, hey, I represent the kingdom of God. I am a citizen of heaven. I am a member of this congregation. I am a member of this body. I come here. I love it. Now, one of the things you got to ask yourself when it comes to community, what is community? Well, if you break down the word common unity, it's all things in common with unity, with togetherness, with oneness. And community is a group of people who share many things or many common things. What is the common thing that we share? Christ, kingdom of God. But then there's a greater dynamic at work. We share our gifts and our talents. We share our time. We share our finances. We share this. And we keep on doing that. That is what we are meant to be doing as a community. Jesus' community was who? His disciples. And he invested in his disciples. Jesus didn't have, well, now he has, I mean, he's got the biggest church. But when he started out, what did he have? 12 men. One of them betrayed him. And he invested. Not finances, but time, his life, and everything into those people. And then they, in turn, when they received power from on high, when they went out, who did they represent? Jesus Christ. They represented the church, and they made a difference. The matter of the fact is that part of what our vision, our scripture for the church is that Jesus said he would build a community called what? The church. Matthew 16, verse 18. And it says right there, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Who is the church? Is it a building or a person? Is it a people? It's you. You are the greatest advertisement of the church. You are the greatest advertisement of the kingdom of God. You are who you should be. And if you're not, then who are you? Because you're not living to the fullest extent to whom God has called you to be. The church is a community that ministers to people who have problems and that have no answers. I'm not saying that as Christians we all have the answers, but what I'm saying is that the greatest witness that you could ever have is a listening ear, and so you can put your arm around someone and just support them. That's community. Weep with those who weep, rejoice with those who rejoice. A community is a group who learns together, who develops. A family obviously, when I look at my children and as they're growing up, my daughter, who is now 10, she's not far away from being her teenage years. Yes, I will be going bolder and grayer quicker than I think. And, you know, but the thing is, as I watch them grow, I learn and develop. When I see my children grow and develop, I grow and develop. How I communicate with them. I speak to them as though they're adults because they're growing up. I spend more time, I invest, and so on. And when you look at the disciples, they learn from what Jesus, when he taught them, when they saw his daily life, and when he answered their questions. Now, I'm not Jesus, so if you've got a question, and I don't know the answer to it, I've got one answer for you. Google it, okay? But be careful what you Google. You don't know what's out there. And in the church, the believers learn together. Believers learn together where? In church, work, and my biggest desire is that in small groups. Now, everybody thinks, oh, well, how do I need people from the church to come into small groups? No, you become the evangelist in your area. You become the spokesperson in your area, and you bring people into that group of yours, and you develop that small group. And then, therefore, you say, hey, by the way, this is the church I go to. And you bring them in that way. And you develop small groups with your atmosphere of influence. That's how you develop a community. And a community is a group who works together and supports one another. People learn through the experience of working together. How many of you have got the best workmates ever, huh? No, I guess not. How many of you got some really work colleagues that you wish weren't there? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've worked with people like that, and I'm just like, yeah. And God's going, love them. And I'm like, do I really have to? He's going, yes. I've worked with people like that. And I used to, and here's the ironic thing. I would kind of like go and have my little prayer time in the bathroom. I'd be like, God, I do not want to work with this guy today. Please, please, please. Guess who I worked with? That guy. The guy nobody likes to work with. Happy-go-lucky type person. You know, the profane, the all of, you know, just the ones that bring the goodness out in you. But that's how you learn. As you develop as a community. I thank God that I worked, prior to coming into the church, I thank God that I worked for a secular company called the Ministry of Defense, which is a British government, because it helped form Christ in me stronger. It helped develop more character in me towards people that really need to be loved. It helped develop within me how to get along with people when you don't really want to get along with this person. Jesus was surrounded by them 24/7. And the fact is, he knew who his betrayer was. And yet, he didn't. He just had to wait because the fullness of righteousness, he had to fulfill that. And here's the thing, Jesus' disciples, did they work against him or with him? They worked with him. You can see that throughout the New Testament. Jesus sent disciples on short-term missions trips to minister to people. Think about it. When you leave church today and you go to work, guess where your mission field is? Where you work? The street you walk down. The person you come across. The one who may, you know, habla, speak your language. Or somebody who'll be willing to try and stretch their English vocabulary. Somebody, you know, those... That's your mission field right there, where you are. When you leave here, that's where you go, that your family and those around you. One of the things is that obviously last week when I was sharing in the message is that we live in such a world that loves to focus on the faults, that loves to look at the weakness of things. I mean, when I hear people comparing churches, and I've been around enough pastors, and they ask the most ironic questions, like, how many people go to your church? Oh, what was your offering this week? I'm just sitting in and going, oh, great. And then you hear them talking about other pastors, and they're slamming them, they're cutting them down. Oh, yeah, yeah. I believe you and me, I've been in the presence when they've been talking about certain pastor that just happened to be me, and I was listening in on it. Oh, I felt something very unholy rise up within me, but I thought, no, I'm just going to smile. I'm just going to love them and just say, oh, God bless them with a brick. And so I found that within the Christian community that we live in today, we lack terribly. And the fullness of the Christian community is that we're meant to build one another up. We're meant to encourage one another. We are to be kind to one another. We ought to make a difference in one another's lives. You just think about it, right? You'll never meet some of the people that you come here, you'll never meet again until when you go to glory. But know this, the influence that you've had in that person's life makes a difference for eternity. Now, one of the things that I'm a firm believer in is that the community is a group who practices accountability. Oh, we love that word, accountability. And when Jesus, you know, he sent his disciples out, they reported back to him everything that went on. They were very, very, they were saying, oh, look, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And, he's like, wow, that's good. I've given you power and authority over all the works of the enemy. And by no means, nothing will harm you. You'll trample on snakes and scorpions, but rejoice knowing this, that your names are written down in the book of life. Paul and Barnabas reported back to the church in Antioch. I used to think this was quite ironic, and I kind of still see it funny now and again, but Emil was working at a church on Saturdays, and they would actually have on the board how many people were evangelized by Mrs. Kim, 49 people. And it was like the top 10, you know. Oh, I evangelized 49 people. Okay, where are they now? You know, and then you got Mr. Park, and you know, and I kind of think to myself, I wonder if I did something like that here, what would the scoreboard look like? What would the Premier League look like? Now, that's Korean style. I'm not Korean, but the matter of the fact is that you should have that conviction within you to reach out. That's the vision of the church: reaching out, raising up, sending out. Correct? That's where it's all about. And where there's accountability, there's always discipline. We all know Matthew 18. Oh, we go to that person. Oh, we go to that person with the second person. You know, it's like having a verbal warning. You see, I think that the secular workplace has got it right. They'll give a verbal warning, and then they'll call somebody else into the office, and then you have a second verbal warning, and then you have a written warning, and you're excommunicating, meaning you're fired. One thing I love about this church is that when I first came to this church, there was no prayer meeting whatsoever. There was a Bible study. There was young adult groups, which I'm looking to start back up again. And there was all of these things that were going on. But the fuel, the fire was missing. And you know what that was? Prayer. You know, I don't know how many of you know the old cliche, one week without prayer makes one week. We as a body, as a community, should be steeped in prayer. Somebody once asked Charles Spurgeon, they said, man, where does the anointing come from in your life? Where is this such a presence in your church and everything else? Why is there a tangibleness of God's evidence in your church? And he said, oh, come with me. And he said, let me take you to the boiler room. And it wasn't a boiler room. It was a basement full of, like, there was just like 60 people or more praying for the church. That God would just pour out his spirit upon the people. That people's lives would be changed and transformed. That the community will become stronger and more effective and so on. Prayer is the fuel, is the fire. Well, prayer is the fuel that brings down the fire. And on Friday, we managed to go around. We went to Yeongdeungpo, and we went around, and we were showing some people who are not even believers, who want to get involved in the project. And we were going around, and we were praying, and I was praying, God, touch their lives through what they see in us when we reach out to the poor, when we make that difference. Prayer is something you can't live without. It's like oxygen. If you hold your breath for about 10 minutes, I don't think you could. But you'll soon be gasping for air. Prayer is the life that you have between you and God. Individual prayer is important. Your quiet times are important. Your devotional times are important. But community prayer is just as greater, where we can share one another's burdens and pray for one another and see God answer prayer. I mean, the fact is that when I told people that Sung Ju had come down with a very serious kidney infection, I mean, she was literally bleeding. It was blood. And I was a bit worried. Well, I was worried. I wasn't a bit. I was worried. But then I thought to myself, hang on. I think I can pray, but it'd be good if I could get the body to pray. So I put it out on Facebook. And people would send me private messages. And people would be praying for you and all this type of stuff. The power of community prayer is powerful. Because the doctor said that she wouldn't get out until Saturday morning, but she was out Friday morning. And I want to thank you for praying. God answers prayer. God prevails in prayer. So I would like more than ever for those of you who know if you're not doing anything on a Friday night, come and pray. Come join us and pray for this church. Pray, help us pray for one another. Help us pray for the greater community. When I pray for this church, I just don't think of the individuals. I think of your families who are not here. I think of those that are back home. And I pray God's blessing over you. I pray God's protection over you, God's providence, God's everything over you here, not just individually but corporately. And one of the things I do like about this church, this community, is that it develops relationships. One of the things is that when you look at Jesus' life, when Jesus wasn't like blow in, blow up, and blow out type of evangelism. There's a time and place for that, but he was a person that built relationships. And you can see that all the way through his life. You can see that all the way through the book of Acts. You can see that all the way through church history. And one of the things I love about this church is that I see the development of friendships. How quick we are to, when people come in and they feel at home. They feel welcome. They feel respected. They feel loved, that they're a part of something. It's called the church, the community of believers. And one of the things I want us to bear in mind is that as a community, we are called as a group to work together as a team. When you look at 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, love is the life's blood of the body. But the action of the lifeblood of the body is the ministry that we do one to another. It's the things that we do, how we help. The gifts of the Spirit, the gift of helps, the gift. Do you know that the gift of generosity is a gift? I love to meet people who are great in that gift. But there's gifts that need to be at work within the body. To neglect your gift is to neglect what God has given you, and I fear for those who neglect the gift that is given you, because they're given to you and you can't send them back. You can't return them to sender. God has given you gifts and talents that are without repentance. You just can't take them back. There's the good and faithful servant, and there's the lazy and what? Wicked servant, who didn't exercise the talent that was given him, who didn't make an investment on what was given him. The other two did. The gifts and talents that you have been given for a reason. Exercise them, invest in them, and watch God increase in your life. And even though that Jesus had his disciples had conflicts with one another, they still work together. And as a church, we are called to work together to minister to people inside the church. What Paul admonishes us to do in the household of faith, we are to help one another within the household of faith. We are to work together. We are to bless one another, but also to minister to those outside of the church. So I want to ask you a very direct question. Where can you start growing in your community today? There's some that naturally just do what they're called to do, and they do it without exception, and they do it to the fullness of what they're called to do. But where is it that you know that you can serve the best? Where is it that you know that you know that you're not serving and you should be serving? Let's take a moment to pray. Father, there's nothing greater than being in a community where you're the center of it. And Lord, that has always been my desire, more than ever before, that this church would be Christ-centered community.